As it goes live. All right, we are live. Donald Rumor Rivera, or Rivera.
Rivera.
Okay, yeah. Donald Rumor Rivera. Welcome to Rodian Creators. So we met Donald at Missy's Treasure Room, and he was doing tarot readings, and he was selling his new book. He was signing it, and we'd already heard of him beforehand from Rick and Missy, who run that amazing store and have the amazing events once a month. So we were eager to meet Donald, and we did. And Aaron had a truly amazing tarot reading from Donald. You know, there's a lot of tarot readers out there, but there's only a few really good ones. And, you know, Donald really, it was a really important event. It was incredibly helpful for Erin. And she said, wow, he's the real deal, you know. And we got Donald's book, you know, The Ultimate Power Within, Unleashing the Magic of Affirmations. Yes, he has a copy as well. And it's great. I love it. It's got the color. It's got a lot of artwork in it. And it's a colorful book along with the text. And that's the pictures kind of help it. And so we're going to go talk about all this. So Donald, it's always so hard to be put on the spot, but you have an interesting background. So maybe tell us a little bit about yourself. You went from law to tarot reading, new age book writing, affirmation teaching guy, or
a jack of all trades, a master of none.
Yeah, often better than a master of one.
exactly. You know, it's interesting. At first, I started. It's interesting because the metaphysical is always woven its thread throughout my life, and so that was always like a bit of a constant, but not to the same extent or degree that it is now, but it's always kind of been there because I was blessed to have been born with some gifts that that my parents did not poo-poo, and they just said, you know, do you, whatever you do. So that was nice. Mm. And so that helped to keep that spirit alive throughout. But as I got into certain careers, they didn't quite, they weren't the most welcoming careers for the metaphysical as a as an attribute.
Oh, yeah.
And so I first came out of school and entered into the electronic engineering field. And so I was working at NSA, National Security Agency, in Fort Meade, Maryland.
Wow.
And so, you know, the U.S., you know, top secret security clearance, all that kind of stuff. And that does not go very well with the metaphysical. Very, very not well.
And oh, so, yeah.
But I was working on specific projects there, and it was quite fun to help grow my career in the engineering field and that kind of stuff. And then from there, I was plucked out of that obscurity into a great opportunity to work with a private contracting company through the government in Germany. And eventually I wound up at a warrior preparation center where I was able to work with a team of people to create a computerized wargaming system for the military, which we did. And we got it into operation and perfected. And it was actually used for the first Gulf War. We practiced that Gulf War for 6 months on that system to be prepared for the Gulf War, which eventually, that's when Saddam went into Kuwait, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And so when that happened, our programming and our, you know, building that system and that networking of systems proved itself very worthy, because we won. We did what the computer said it was going to do because of the way in which we prepared so well the military to do this, which was wonderful. But at one point, you know, you get to a point where you get you rise to your level of incompetence. And I'm like, I don't want to be a leader of cats. I don't want to hurt cats. Engineers are not the best people to work for. Mm-hmm. And when you're over them, it's even harder. And I didn't want somebody over me. So I'm like, you know, this is not good. And so it's kind of funny. In the book, in my acknowledgement page, you'll see an acknowledgement to Reba McEntire. And the reason why is that I was coming home from, I was going back to work at lunch in the early 92. And I was like, this is what I want to do for 20 more years just to get a paycheck, you know, to get a retirement. And I'm like, I don't know. And all of a sudden, Reba McEntire's song, Is There Life Out There, comes on the radio. And I'm like, on that day, in that moment, she was singing to me. She sung to me, and I heard it clearly. So it was my clarion call. I took up that challenge, shall we say, and start putting in place a process to get myself into a place where I could then jump out of a career and go back to school and realize what I want to do that will be satisfying for 30 years instead of just filling a paycheck for 20 years, which I did not want to do. And so eventually it led me to Texas A&M, where I got my bachelor's of political science and then graduated and went to law school at at South Texas College of Law in Houston. And so I jokingly say, Reba McEntire, you're responsible for a Texas attorney.
Yeah.
But again, not another career that is very pro or very embracing of the metaphysical. It's like, so what did I do? I jumped from the frying pan to the fire, from science to law, but I still kept that thread weaving through both, you know? And then I also invested in real estate and owned a lot of real estate and became, and all the while wanting to do more with my metaphysical. So eventually life brought me to a time where I could actually experience that and to take it to the next level. And that kind of gives you a bit of the background. So I am somewhat an engineering mind. I am somewhat of a legal mind, and those help to give me clarity to understand even better what it is I do in the metaphysical, because I don't accept it. I never accepted the metaphysical just because somebody said it, just because a person talked about it and I fell for it or I wanted to believe it. I needed proof. I needed understanding. I needed to understand there was so many more levels to it. And if I understand that reasoning, then therefore I can agree with it and embrace it. And so, so that gave me a whole different perspective, I think, than a lot of people. And I'm not saying one is better than the other, but again, my mind was like, I need proof. Give me proof, because that's my whole career. All of my careers have been about proof. You know, show me the money.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Well, it's amazing how the awakened life, I will call it, you know, something like you mentioned, you had gifts when you were a youngster that you realized. And I think, you know, people sometimes develop that later in life, but oftentimes you're kind of born with it and you have these gifts. And the thing is that I've often felt that sometimes universe, you can call it God first, you got God force or higher self or universe, you know, it keeps us out of trouble for a certain amount of time, because we sort of have to go from like, we have this like path to walk. And so it just sort of goes, okay, I'm going to keep you out of trouble. I need you to do this and this and this, because you're going to like really start turning on at like 23. And then like 25 is going to be a big deal, you know, but we have to just get you there. You know, and sometimes it just fills our time up with stuff, but it all really plays out well. Like I was in the first Gulf War. So I was like NMC B-40. I was there with the CBs, the Naval Mobile Construction Battalions. And so I was somewhere in the first Gulf War. I forget. I don't know. A tent in the middle of nowhere. And we were supporting heavy equipment there, our group. And so anyways, I look at that sometimes and I go, man, why was I there? How did I ever get involved in that? But I look at it and I went to all kinds of extremes all over the world, saw all kinds of stuff that there's no way, very unlikely I would have as a civilian. But so these experiences that don't seem to match, does it seem like when we go back and look at them, when we go back and read through those chapters again, we go, you know what? It was perfect. And how else would I have done it?
Exactly. All roads lead us to where we are. So when you look back and you say, maybe I shouldn't have, or maybe I couldn't have, or maybe whatever, the reality is if you take any of those components away, you've altered everything moving forward, and we probably would not be where we are now. And for some people, that may be a good thing.
Yeah.
For me, I am so glad that I am where I am, because I learned from every experience. I learned the engineering side to understand the math of things, to understand why things work and how they work, and also to help me understand my metaphysical skills and how that energy, the energy that is us, the energy that surrounds us, the energy that holds our atoms together, that energy itself is what we tap into in the metaphysical side. That's energy that we sometimes poo-poo and dismiss on the science side. The reality is when you walk into a room and the room is a very low energy, your energy feels it. The energy connects and it's like, wait a minute, that's a very lower energy than mine. So I'm like, this room is depressed. Or you walk in and it's a high vibrational energy. It's because we are energy. Our energy connects with the energy we're impacting. And therefore we can tell if it's a high or low energy. And so that's the science side of it in that regard. And then the law side is, give me the proof, show me, help me to make a case to prove that this works or why this works and so forth, which again, takes me directly to the book, because in the book, I do the background research. I do the case, building a case for why, why the why affirmations work and how they work. And more importantly, the fascinating thing about the book in that regard is that until this book was written, and I say this and I could be proven wrong and I will gladly listen, but I will tell you what, when I started working with affirmations and started trying to understand them and I looked for books on them, very few books on affirmations. Lots of books, there are not a lot. There are a number of books on affirmations that give you tons of affirmations, but there are very few affirmation books that tell you how they work or give you some reasoning why they work. Instead, it's all the stuff that's been told over and over and repeated in dogma because people did the, what I call your mom and your grandmother's yoga affirmations. Om, I am great. Om, I am wonderful. And I'm like, that's not what this book about. This book about affirmations is about a new understanding of affirmations and the power in which they can be used to help alter your environment as well as your own person. And so again, when I looked to find in my legal side of okay, give me the proof, show me the proof. I found university experiments. I found all this scientific background and testing on affirmations. And I think sometimes when you read the papers, they set out to prove that they didn't work and they were surprised to know that they did. And so I love it because I have scientific research rolled into this book explaining how they work and how it's been proven that they work. And so that is key to this book, is that you're not going to find that in most other books, because again, people who have attacked this issue previously never went to that point. They just kind of said, okay, this is what I've heard. And so, again, this is to me a groundbreaking book for that purpose. It's something that when everybody on the other side starts poo-pooing you for being woo-woo or whatever you want to call us, I'm like, uh-uh, it's science.
It's science. Yeah.
And that drives me crazy. It's like, wait a minute. Whoa, what are you talking about? You know, science, metaphysical, I don't know. Nope, it is. It's science.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It kind of reminded me a bit of Neville Goddard in that. Now, Neville Goddard's very different than how would I put it? One of his books was called, you know, Feeling is the Secret. And you mentioned feeling in the book. And, you know, if I was to like sum up while you were just talking and then also remembering the book, I kind of come up with three things like feeling, ritual, and intuition. You know, and it seems like you really kind of, I'm not sure about the intuition part, but it's there too. Like, because when people think of affirmations, as we get into the book, I think this is a book that you could give a lot of people, because many books, if you have, let's say, well, we, you know, lovingly, like we'll call them normies, right? Somebody who's like, you know, I don't believe in that stuff. Right. But for some reason, something sparks them and they're interested, or they see the book on your table or something. I feel like it's a book that if somebody's already like well down the path of, well, I humbly say like awakening, right? They're open to, you know, stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's going to work for them. They're going to enjoy it. But somebody also who is like, well, I don't know about that, it seems like it gently guides them into it. And like you say, it does talk about science. It talks about, you know, quite a lot. So it seems like you had definitely a runway for people who might have been indifferent, might have been skeptical, to help begin to get off the ground. Was that part of your intent in writing it?
No, I wish I could own that, but I really can't.
You just went for it.
No, the science took me there. And so, again, when I wrote this book, there were 35,000 words. The final book is only 22,005. So 22,500 words to 35,000 is a big jump. But what happened is that other bulk of it, a lot of that was research. I had so much research. And so when I first took a look at the book, having it all together, it was 46 chapters. It is far less than that now. And so as you look at it, a lot of that research, it because of the way in which I write and the way in which I think and how as in law we have to prove this step and then the causation to the next step and the causation to the next step. And that's what I did. And I realized, wait a minute, they don't need all the causation. They don't need that many steps. They need to. So what I did is I took away, I had a good friend who looked at it first and she looked over and she's like, oh, no. No. And she had strong, she and I both had our strength in our friendship enough to be able for her to give me honest feedback mm-hmm. and mean to receive it. And at first it was a little painful because I'm like, wait a minute, I've worked a year on this. A year. And you just took a red pen to it. What the heck, you know, but she gave me some very wise insight and she helped me to reorient my thought and also to understand that I'm not writing a textbook. I'm writing something that people can sit down with. They can take to the beach with them. They can take on vacation. They can take on an airplane and they can go through it and get enough information to give them confidence that this works scientifically. And additionally, how to do it, where to do it, when to do it, and then what to remember while they're doing it to expect the result that they're hoping for. And then of course, in the beginning, what happened is in the first draft, I had myself, my story was the very end because I didn't want the book about me. And they're like, no, the people are going to want to know why you wrote the book. They're going to want to understand what drove you to do this. And therefore, if they hear you and they see that you've, whatever you did to get there, then that's going to help them want to maybe read the book. So you need to put it up front. And I'm like, but I don't want it about me because it's not about me. It's about affirmations. They're like, if you want people to understand affirmations, they got to get to reading it first. And so give them something to understand what brought you to the dance. Because once you get to the dance, they'll dance.
And oh, I like that.
So I took away a lot of, I went back and I took away the research that fell into gaps that really was a bit redundant. And then, so I made the bigger leaps, which is what the book has, but the leaps, without knowing what I just said, you would never know the leaps are there because again, it rolls fluently because I made sure that I gave enough connection between one to the next, to the next, to the next. And so in so doing, the book was created based on science. And the good part about it is it's really not woo-woo as we would think, because again, I don't go into a lot of I go into specifics based on that research and giving people what they need to know. And the rituals, we find rituals in all religions. So this book can be read by religious people and not be offended. It can be read by everybody, but it was never intended to either sway or dissuade one group or the other to make them feel good. It was about that versus, you know, religious versus woo-woo, whatever. It was meant to really be a document that helps people understand the power that lies within them. And again, when you look at the ultimate power within, it was about the power in you, because that's the one thing that came through all the research that I did, is that it all starts here. It's within us. It's the goddess. It's our inner goddess. It's our inner soul. It's our inner voice. It's whatever you want to call it. It is here and on the front of the page. And if you notice, the artwork is all my own artwork. I did all the artwork myself. And it's very important to me because this message on here is that inner goddess, that inner voice. And she's telling the universe via the chakras what she wants. She's very well grounded. So she understands what it is she's asking for. So she's not like, okay, a whim, this is what I want. She's sending it out to the universe. The universe then sends it back to her via the white coming in. And so this image I worked on for days to get that right, to be able to convey the message. So when you see that, that's the title. The title is that image, if you think about it, because again, it starts within us. It is that power within. And then we understand here that we can look to pills, we can look to systems, we can look to a couch for a therapist, whatever. But the reality is that science has said, first of all, start here. If you start inside, the power lays within you, then those things will help you, but you've got to do it here first. And that's what the book is about, finding that power within, learning how to do the affirmation, starting within. And then as we move along, we find the other tools to help us, but don't reach to the tools first, because we can do a lot of what we have learned or been told we can't. And I'm telling you, you can. You can. You know, yeah. Message, especially in this day and age. I mean, we've come through a time where it was so traumatic and so much turmoil and so much, you know, and with COVID and all those things, you know, and we were reaching for something else. And it's like, you know what? Reach inside, look inside, and don't be afraid to go there. Because sometimes people are afraid to go to that inner space because they're afraid of what they may see or what they may hear. But to be honest with you, once you connect to that inner voice, that inner spirit, that inner goddess, that inner spirit or goddess opens up in a way that lets you see fully who you are. And once you know who you are, once you own your power, once you own that energy source, then I think that you will understand how much then you can affect change, not only of yourself, but the universe around you. Easily do it, but it takes it it can be tricky.
It can be tricky. Yeah. Well, yeah. And sometimes people will hear the idea of, well, affirmations and then manifesting. And I think that sometimes there can be like a negative reaction. They say, well, what about service to self? And it should be, or how they put it. Yeah, service to others versus service to self. You hear that a lot, New Agey, you know. But I've always thought that Stuart Wilde, a great influence, you know, for me. I mean, a really crazy guy from, or he's from Australia or Europe somewhere. Stuart Wilde, crazy character. One of the things that he said early in the game, and I heard this when I was, you know, quite young, so it was like, you know, 40 years ago. He said that it's really important to, in the 3D reality, have the ability. He actually wrote a book called Affirmations as well. And he said that you got to be able to manifest, you got to be able to create, because if life is just struggle, then you really can't have your spiritual practice. So you have to have your comfort, have to have your nice home, got to have some money so that you can go you can pay for those experiences, whatever they are, so that you actually can then do your work, you know, because I mean, really, it's very hard to be thinking about spiritual things, you might say, or on that path, or like spending time with the I am, you know, when life is struggle. So his thing was, we have to get over that notion that life is struggle, use affirmations, use manifestation practices to make life comfortable, because really, that's where, if one is really concerned they have to have service to others more than self, well, until self is taken care of, there is no service to others anyway, you know? Yeah. And so and
that would be my argument. That is the key to my argument right there before anything, is that if you are not whole, if you are not healthy, if you are not bringing your A game, you can still be service, if service to other people, but what service and how, to what extent? And so again, if you make yourself whole, if you bring this whole being into, you know, into line with so everything is functioning in the same way, and that therefore it's uniform with its desires, its hopes, its goals, and whatever, which again, sometimes we get misaligned. Sometimes our goals are here, our alignment's there. And so that's the cool part. If you are a whole, fully formed, very adjusted human being, then you can serve so much better, because you're not having to worry now about your needs. You're not having to worry about your adjustments, about how somebody may have crossed you or wronged you or said something wrong. Because you know what? At that point, you don't care what they think. You don't care what they say. I mean, if I were to sit and listen and worry about what people said all the time, I would not have written this book. I would have stayed in my home and shuttered the windows and said, you know what? I'm a metaphysical person, but nobody needs to know because I'm afraid. You know? Oh, so, yeah. So again, it's that creating that whole self, that healthy self. And in so doing, then you serve others. So I do to an extent disagree with any fact that you have to serve others over yourself, because if you do not serve yourself well, you cannot serve others well. In my opinion, you can serve them, but you cannot serve them as well as if you yourself are whole and complete. And then also one other point, if I could make, and that is in reference to the IMs. With this argument in the book, and this is the big thing about this book, is I'm trying to help people understand that this is not your mama or your grandma's affirmations, because your grandma and your mama's affirmations were, I am great, I am wonderful, om, om, om. And my point is no. This understanding of affirmations is helping us, now that we understand that there is energy, now that we have that energy at our being, our core, then that energy, as we put it out, we can create this ripple effect. We can alter the experience that we're having. And so my argument is clearly this, is that because we now understand to a much higher degree of the energy and our ability to alter our universe, our experience, and our environment, is that as we then tell the universe what we want, and we send that energy forward, that energy is met by the universe, who says, hey, you got your stuff together. I'm going to help you along with this. Now, and part of that, of course, is also understanding that you can't do it all. And that's why you somewhat surrender to the fact and say, look, yeah, I'm ready to work with you, universe. This is what I'm looking to do. This is where I want to go. And I'll do you whatever you need to help me, and I'll do my share. So it's a sharing situation. And then we send that energy out. I'll give you an example too about that energy. And this is something I say quite often. You're driving down the road and you have children in the back of the car, and all of a sudden you're in the third lane over on the left, and your tire blows out. You navigate in traffic across three lanes, pull over on the curb on the side of the road, and you bring the car to a stop. Now, at this point, are we raging? Are we going to what biologically we are predisposed, and the science in this tells you we are predisposed to negative already. Are we going to the negative side and blow up? Oh my gosh, I was running late and now this happens. This always happens. How does this happen? You get out of the car, you slam the door, you walk around, you look at the tire, the rim is fine, the fender is fine, you just have a blown tire, but you're ranting and raving. And then the person comes up to help you, and then your negative energy touches them. Now they have negative energy when they're only trying to help. Okay, now let's go back to the other side of this. Let's now have somebody who's been doing affirmations and learning to center themselves and to understand that we can retrain the brain, that neuroplasticity now tells us we can now start thinking things positively. So we navigate the car. We, instead of jumping right out, we look to the back and realize those two lives in the back seat are healthy. Yes. And they're wonderful. They don't even know what's going on. They just think I pulled over, right? So I'm thankful that my children are fine. I get out of the car, I walk around the car, and I realize all this traffic, I could have flipped, I could have done something, I could have gotten an accident. Thank goodness I didn't. I walk around, I realize the fender's intact, the rim is intact, all that's messed up is a tire. And I remember, oh, I have tire insurance, so that's taken care of. I call AAA, they come, I'm happy. That person comes to help me. They bring their positive energy. Now that rippling effect sends this positive energy out. Again, this is a very simplistic way of explaining to you. But the point is I had two options. I could have done what is ingrained in us to be negative instantly. And again, both things can be happening at the same time. I can still see the negative. But does that mean I have to react that way? You can have two things that can be actually happening at the same time. But that doesn't mean that they have to coexist equally. And so I go to the positive and I'm like, let me do the positive, send that positive energy out. And then a positive energy comes back to you. And so so when you do an affirmation, in my new phrase, my new form of affirmations, you're sending that energy out to the universe. You send it in a present tense, positive way, personalized, and it has to be specific. And you tell the universe what you want, what you intend, and you're saying it as you have succeeded already, whatever that might be. So in other words, you say, I am thankful, and thankfulness is important to me. Thankfulness and gratefulness is so important. I am thankful that I won a lottery ticket for X amount of money. Okay. And then it comes. And again, also use logic and reason. Let's not go crazy and think, okay, I'm going to tell them I'm going to be a billionaire and it's going to happen overnight. That's not going to happen. And you know, and one of the best ways to do it is test. If you don't believe in them, test them a little bit, give little tests and get bigger and bigger and bigger with your tests and prove how they work. And they do work. Again, it proves yourself, because when you say an affirmation, say it when you mean it when you say it. If you do not mean it, do not say it, because you're wasting your time and your energy. And why do that? You know, but if you're going to buy a pill, if you're going to pay a therapist, if you're going to do all these wonderful, you know, seminars and go to all these other things, how much does 5 minutes a day cost you? How much does 5 minutes a day for you to sit in a space and repeat an affirmation cost you? I'm telling you, the price is far less. far less.
No, it's absolutely.
And of course,
true.
The $20 for the book.
Yeah.
I had to put the plug in there.
Oh, no, that's perfect. That's perfect. I was thinking, I forget what the chapter was. Well, one of the things that you mentioned in the book, and before I ask that, and what you're saying, I think what the book helps people realize is that how often, because you mentioned testing, like how often have you manifested a whim? And when we realize that the universe is really there, all of our, you know, like Neville Goddard said, like the world is a manifestation of prayer. It's a manifestation of every thought, word, and deed. So it's a manifestation of the collective mind, you know? And so it's got some beautiful stuff. It's got some terrible stuff. It's the collective mind. But you individually are all powerful in your experience, and you can manifest your experience. And even when you see all the disasters, you'll just see perfection in it. You'll see the evolution in it. You begin to just see the light in everything. And with the affirmations, it seems like it helps you get into that energy of realizing that the universe wants to manifest whatever you think. And you just have to be poignant and on purpose. And we'll get into the methodology of doing it. Mm-hmm. But I think if a person thinks about it, how often has your whim been manifested? And that should really prove something to people, I think, just to me, because that's how easy manifestation is. When you go, wow, I just like that. I like those things. That's really cool. I like those, you know, mm-hmm. And then somebody gives you one and you, yeah. And you realize that's how easy it really, really is. Mm-hmm. And so anyhow, it does seem that it helps us when we own our own energy, when we decide what it's going to be, like mm-hmm. You mentioned with the flat tire, if my tire like blew out, I'd be slightly annoyed. But then when I pulled over, I would say, I guess I was running ahead of schedule. The universe had to,
Exactly.
Now it's going to be perfect. I'm going to get there at exactly the right time. I may not think so, but I know that it's true. So it just really starts to, change how you perceive. And that's a deliberate perception, deliberate energy. Yeah. Like if you have to deal with a difficult person and you just decide, you know what? I'm just going to be positive. I'm going to be happy. I own that. I can decide that. And through this, no matter what, I'm going to have a happy experience. And the other person, no matter how grumpy they might like to be, they just can't keep it up because you're in control of your energy, but they're not. And then you win.
Yep. And it's interesting because as I go live, I do live stream readings, both tarot and some mediumship on Wednesday evenings on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, and the same thing on Thursday mornings. And so, 6 p.m. East West Coast time, 8 a.m. on Thursday West Coast time as well. But so while I was writing this book, I was telling people about me writing the book and I was explaining about affirmations. And as I uncovered more data and as I uncovered more research, I would share it with people. And I really got fired up about it. As you can tell, I'm fired up about it because I love it. I believe in it. And I know I've used it in my own life. But as I learned more about it and I would share with people who were even in the metaphysical who had blown it off because they're like, again, they were using their mamas and their grandmamas theories on this, they said, you know what, let me give it a try. And so I was so blessed that as I wrote the book, people were sending me specific experiences they had with using their affirmations. And one good friend of mine, she had one of the most direct and immediate responses. And so she sent me a thing and she said, I did it and it worked. I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, I can believe it because I believe in them. And so her thing was it was a very simple thing. She had a tuition payment coming up for her son in school. Mm. And it was a certain amount of money. And she said, I won a scratch off worth $500 to pay my son's tuition for this month. She did that on Wednesday morning. She did it on Thursday morning. She did it on Friday morning. Friday midday, she gets a call from school and she realizes they're calling about the check that's supposed to be in the mail. And she's like, I'll return the phone call on Monday. I don't really want to take this right now because I don't have the money in the bank. Okay. So I'm like, okay, I'll just talk to them Monday. Who wants to deal with that for a Friday? Right. So later on that evening, she's out and she takes the time and she's like, okay, I'll listen to the message. And she listens to the message and they said, well, congratulations, your son had a $467 scholarship for the month. Now, this is the same school that he has been in and she's had him in for years and they've never had nothing. And all of a sudden, on that one month, in that moment, she gets a scholarship to cover the tuition. How did that happen? You can give me very many reasons why that happened. I am telling you clearly that I will not be convinced it's anything other than that because, again, of the many years without. And then all of a sudden, when she asks for it and spirit delivers it, there's some other experiences that I got from a lot of different people. They bombarded me with so many different experiences saying, hey, Don, your affirmations are working. And what that did for me is as I wrote the book, as I was getting more confirmation, it just gave me that feeling of I'm doing what I need to do to get the voice heard. Because again, it's funny that during this last few years, we look around us and there's chaos and there's frustration and people are taking so much in and not releasing it. And mm-hmm. I'm saying, you know what? They need to hear this voice because if they hear the message of this book and understand that there is another way, again, that's not costing them anything because these days costs are an issue, then they may actually alter their thinking, which alters their lives, which alters their families' lives and creates that rippling effect. in a way that they never thought they could because the message wasn't given to them. And that's my key to this. I didn't write this book to make money. People who know about writing, they realize you don't make money as an author. This is not what this is about. It's not about that. It's about the message that people needed to hear, because as people were confirming with what I was receiving, I kept hearing, this is something that more people need to know, because if people get the message, they will use it. And the more they use it, they will then understand that they had the power all along. It's when it's been here. The ultimate power is within, which is what the book says. It's the title.
Yeah.
Is within us. We just have to unleash it. We have to let it out and learn how to use it to our advantage. And once we do that, there's no going back. There's no going back. I'm telling you, I'm living a blessed life because of many reasons, but one of those are affirmations and that positive thinking that comes with that whole concept, which is that mindfulness. Mindfulness is so important to people, you know, and if you haven't learned about mindfulness yet, folks, look it up and learn about it too, because it is very useful in our way of thinking. If we, again, are approaching it based on our biology, which tells us go negative, man, when you start retraining the brain using that neuroplasticity to help you understand that we can see things in a positive way and we're not violating any rules of nature, then do it. And life can be so much better for having done so. Yeah.
And as we create, I think we realize that we're manifesting from the I am. And, you know, when it comes to a spiritual practice, really manifesting the reality the way that you like it is your right. That's what you're here to do. You can do that. And nothing to be guilty about. Many people think that it is. It's like, no, this earth plane is here for your enjoyment if you so desire. And that's really the point of it. And that's how we evolve. And so I feel like as we're manifesting, you're feeling, I just call it like the I am. So mm-hmm. In a sense, every manifestation is a greater experience of self. What do you think of that?
I think that's the case. And again, that goes back to that higher power. You know, which mm-hmm. is, again, what we're working toward by living this lifetime. We're working toward to be a higher power, the higher self, to perfect our what we are. And it's interesting, too, because when you talk about the I am, it's funny how we are trained as children to fall in line, to get in line, to follow, to listen, to get to do, and not to raise our hand and not stand out too much. It's most often, quiet down, you're too loud, you know? Don't mm-hmm. say that. It's outside the norm. And we are trained. We are trained to sit down and be quiet. And it's like, wait a minute. This is what this book is telling you not to do. I'm telling you, break the rules, break the rule, and stand up and say, this is what I want. This is what I demand. By telling us for so long that we don't, that we are somewhat arrogant or somewhat selfish if we put forward what we want to make us a whole and healthy being, that's why the I am is so important in that sense, because again, you are tapping that inner person, that inner God is a higher, and saying, look, for me to be at that next level, for me to be that better person that I know I is within, this is what I want from the universe, and I'm calling it in. I'm asking it to come in, because now I can. I have this book gives you the permission to be a bit selfish in that regard, to say, yes, you know what? I am worthy. And again, we are trained not to. We're trained to be quiet, good little citizens, and look for the collective and the benefit. Well, no, it starts here first. So this book gives you permission to say, you know what? Let me help me. And once I help me, then I can turn around and help you.
Yeah. And many people, I think, who are listening to this and who, you know, will listen to this and who will read your book. And also, one thing I like about your book is that it's on Audible, which I think is great, because I mean, I definitely read books, but I mm-hmm. listen to so many books. And, you know, we all have like a reading list for, we're always catching up on the paper, but I mean, yeah. I love when people put things out on Audible, because that is really the opportunity that many people have to listen to things. And also they don't want to wait. I mean, yeah. You know, it's just, I got to have it now, and I got to put it on like double speed. And I got to, yes. You know, and so, but many of us have felt like you've been told maybe all of our lives, like you're just too much for people. You're always turning it down. You're always toning it down. You know, mm-hmm. You've always been the odd one. And one thing about this is, you know what, you can channel that into affirmations. You can channel that into manifestation. So this too much you've always been actually can be grounded and then it can manifest. And then also, I think you'll find that you will have a new orbit of people that are connected to you energetically, you know, that mm-hmm. you're not going to be too much for. And I think that's one, you know, great affirmation is, you know, I'm not even sure how I'd phrase it. I just thought of it, but that, you know, I am surrounded by, you know, a supercharged fellowship. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like we can get away from always having been too much mm-hmm. to then you can take that step into people, into a new environment where you're not too much. You're just, yeah. now you're just normal. You can go be where craziness is natural.
and where it's not judged, because again, why not ask, not why not put it out there. And I have an affirmation in the book, you'll see it. And it's my go-to affirmation that I use every day. And even when I'm in a little bit of a quandary or when I need a little bit of awakening to get me back in line. And it is, I believe in infinite abundance. I am thankful that my needs and wants are always met. That's a very simple affirmation, but I will tell you what, think about how it's scripted. I wrote that thing specifically, word for word, to fulfill many different needs. I believe, again, I already believe it, so it's there, in infinite abundance. In other words, it is possible in my life, and it, therefore it is. I am thankful, which again, giving grace back, I am thankful for that my wants and needs are always met. Again, and in so doing, as I start doing that, again, it helped to, I got reinforced with it based on things coming to me. It's amazing how when I need something, it arrives. Yes. When I needed to understand how to write my own, how to take my writing and perfect it, it showed up. When I needed to understand how to self-publish, because I'm independently published, this is not a conglomerate, this is just me, it showed up. I learned and the information was given to me. And as I have in my life, as I have needed it, it shows up because I believe in the infinite abundance and my wants and needs are met. Therefore, when I need them or when I really want it, it shows up. And that's, I live the experience. I live that affirmation on a daily basis and it holds true to me. And it is interesting because when I first wrote the book, I figured out how to do a paperback on Amazon, which was a trauma in itself. And then when I went to upload it to a hardback, it had to totally reformat everything because the hardbacks are different. And then when I wanted to do the ebook, oh Lord have mercy, that was a whole different step. So again, I learned and grew and connected with people who helped me with that. And then, as you say, today is the release of my Audible, and it's live today. And I think over the next 2 days, it'll phase into on iTunes and on Amazon as well. So the Audible is there as well. And so it is available and has been available. And I was so blessed because as an independent author, you don't expect any accolades or acknowledgments. But on the first day of release, I was ranked number one new release. And it's funny because my son called and said, "Dad, you're number one." And I said, "Of course I am. I better." He said, "No, I'm serious, Dad. No. Look," and he sent me the text. He said, "You're number one new release. You're ranked number one new release on Amazon." And I thought, how is that possible for an indie author? That does not happen. But it's because I had talked so much about it, I think, and because I connected it to so many people as I was writing it, that when the message finally arrived, people wanted and needed to hear it. And so they blessed me with having the sales to rank me as number one. And I will wear that as a badge of honor always, because again, that helped to confirm that the voice was needed. The people needed to, somebody out there needed to hear this. Many people apparently needed to hear this. And that's why I'm doing these podcasts and anything else, is again, to get that message out. Just because again, when you start using them and you take your own power, man, when you live in your power, man, you can't be stopped. You really can't, because you know, you're like, you know what? I'm not bothered by your no, and I'm not bothered by your negativity. I'm not bothered by this, because I know me and I know what I am capable of. That's a great place to be.
Oh, it's a great place to be. And we begin to feel and experience the multidimensional reality, like the, you know, the multiple timelines. And we feel that. And also, it's one of the things is, as we develop intuition, we have it, we develop, we get better at it. You know, it it validates a lot of the ways that we see things. I think that for people who are doing this work, who are doing the affirmations, also when you're feeling into something or when you're pondering something, you're actually like you're pondering in the future, in the past, multiple timelines. It's like it loosens reality up and you start realizing that, yes, I am intuiting on a vast array of you can call it frequencies of I'm not in linear time right now when you're intuiting. I've just stepped out of that. My point of perspective of consciousness is now very, very vast. It's no longer singular. And I think that the more we hang out in that space, like what you're saying, how things just came to you, how you learn what you needed to learn. It appeared before you. You get this help, and that's the thing that I experience quite a lot. It's that, and so much of it is like that line, even before you'll have asked, I will have given. You're going, well, I didn't even know I needed this, but here it is, and yes, now I need it at this exact moment. And so, it does make life magical, and it makes it non-linear. I think when your reality is really the less linear it becomes, wow, that's really something. I love it.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, is because as we talked about earlier, it's interesting when you write a book, you have to understand, you want to know where your market is, and you want to, and as an independent author, we have to go out and we have to put our books in stores, right? Because it doesn't just happen. And a lot of stores are like, we're not even looking at you because we want it from a publisher or whatever. But anyway, when you start doing that, it's amazing to understand the power of owning your penmanship, and then also the power of owning your conviction. Okay. And so I went to Unity Church and I asked them, would you put this in the bookstore? And you're thinking, okay, this is a church and I don't know, but they did. So now I'm in Boulder, wow, Colorado, because I asked. When I was in Denver, I'm in the shop in Denver. I live in Arizona. I live in Scottsdale, but I am in Corpus Christi, Texas. I'm in a bookstore there. I'm in various states here and there, because as I've traveled and went to those places and said, hey, would you? And they're like, yeah. Why not? Because they love the message and they get that message, which is important. So again, part of it is thinking outside the box, thinking beyond, because sometimes, again, we've so put ourselves in a box because society put us there that we're told, our limitations. You can only be sold in metaphysical stores. No, I can't. I'm elsewhere. I'm in a gift shop in a hospital up in Kingman. And it's interesting because the lady who bought the books and put them in her book, put them in the gift shop, she understood again how wonderful this would be to be able, first of all, the visual itself. She said the cover itself would sell, but to understand the message of this when you're healing from something.
Yes.
And understanding that the healing starts here as well, that if you are part of your healing process, the doctors can do so much, but you can add to that based on the placebo effect, which is something I talk about in the book as well, based on the bringing down the cortisone levels and therefore decreasing your anxiety, therefore helping you to heal. And that's chapter 13, by the way. Anyway, chapter 13 and 14 goes into that. But again, it's she got that. She understood that message. And so would I've thought about it? Maybe not. I don't know, but I just did. And I said, where else would somebody want to read this? And the hospital seemed a wise place. And sure enough, the response was, yes, this is where it belongs. And so, so again, understanding the fact that the limitations that we put ourselves in, the societal boxes that we find ourselves in, we don't have to accept that. We can look beyond that and say, what else? And then ask the universe and say, hey, How can I expand this? Where can I go? And then just follow it. And no is okay. I'm okay with no, because I got the armor on. I'm okay with no. And I understand that not everybody's going to want this. I totally get it. But there are a lot of people who, once they understand this, they will want this. And so I go to wherever. And if I'm told yes, I celebrate. If I'm told no, I'm like, okay, maybe I have to own my ask a little bit. Maybe I have to change my phrasing. I don't know. Or maybe that's just not the place I needed to be. Mm-hmm. But that's okay, because guess what? It's not for everybody. And I am comfortable with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you mentioned there was so much research that you had ultimately excluded from the book, to keep it as poignant and powerful as possible. What is something that you kind of really wish you'd, you, you'd put in the book? Is there anything that the kind of you go, oh, I just, well, oh, that would just be perfect. I wish it was in there.
I wish I could say there is, but there really isn't. And that is because, again, the way in which I built the research, one thing on top of the other, I very closely knit it for a legal argument. And because, again, that's how I was thinking when I wrote it. So I so tightly knitted the research. And therefore, once I read it and was given the advice to say, let's go back and look at this, I realized I could get rid of some of the little measures in between because they don't do anything but give a little more incremental benefit. But the benefit is taking the first step and the next step already there. And so yeah. I don't think I shaved anything out that would not necessarily the one good thing is, again, I got the about the cortisone and how that's so important, because that's a physical manifestation. That's a physical reality of an affirmation. Is science proves there's a physical alteration of our body, which is amazing, right? And then they do the brainwave studies and show you also that. And so, again, I'm giving physical manifestation specific things so people can grab onto that. Also, I went into the placebo effect, which again is why the hospitals are like that too, because again, the placebo effect says that if you believe you are getting better, historically and proven, the placebo effect says you do. Some people do. And that's why in some blind studies with drugs and with chemotherapies and things, they do three tests. They do one that's placebo, one that's real. And sometimes the placebo effect is equally good, which tells you maybe the drug isn't as great as you thought it was. Because again, if people think they're better, then they are better. And that's telling you that there's something else at play here. So again, it's all these things rolled into one. So no, there isn't anything specific, I think, that I would have wanted to bring in the book. If anything, the one frustration about that was that when I got rid of a large group of the research, as I did, the sites went away. But those sites were bound also to something later. And when I got rid of the sites, when I got rid of the research, the site went away. And later on, when I went back, I'm like, oh, I had to put a site here. What happened? And I had to reverse engineer sites. It is very easy to read a book and have a site, and also to read an attorney's notes. My handwriting is atrocious, I promise. And if it's 2 weeks old, then I can't even read what I wrote. But the funny thing is having to reverse engineer and figure out where that site was and from what study it came from was extremely difficult. So if I had any complication with the research, it was not about what I took out. It's about figuring out what site that belonged to and to what study that went to, and having that, because I had about 7 or 8 of them that disappeared, and I was devastated because I'm like, oh no. And what happened is I didn't save the old file because I was rewriting over the file.
Oh yeah.
I should have, but I didn't. And that was my, I thought I was saving separately and I kept saving separately, but then no, that was a big and like, boom. So that was my only frustration, I think.
Oh, I understand. Well, especially having the book in hospitals, you know, I think about, I just call it active affirmations, where, and we'll definitely get into like the ritual setting and like what that looks like for a person, you know, like how do you do this? Of course, you get the book, of course, but, you know, some pointers. But I call it like active affirmations, where I've gotten into where I won't let myself, we have a mental, you know, communication with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I found that it can be quite the discipline to not let yourself finish a negative thought. You just go like, nope. And then you steer it in a different way. Well, one of the things that really has helped me is, so like for instance, I recently injured a knee, you know, and it was, you know, it didn't really look good. It was like, you know, you probably need surgery for that, mm-hmm. you know, et cetera. And anyway, I go, no, I know better. This is like really painful, gets my attention. But every time it would hurt, I would just think it feels a little better. You know, I'm totally lying mm-hmm. to myself, right? But it doesn't matter. I'm like, yeah, if anybody asks, how are you doing? I'm like, a little better. It's better, you know? And every time I would do physical therapy, it didn't matter if it was getting better or not. It was getting better. That was my experience, mm-hmm. you know? And it healed. So a knee injury mm-hmm. that's not impossible to heal on its own did quickly. And that was just because I, you know, whenever anybody asked, how's it, people would ask, you know, how's your knee? I'm like, it's great, doing better. And even when I would feel it and it was painful, didn't matter. I'm like, you know what? It hurts less than yesterday. It hurts less than it did a minute ago. And yeah. I just, you could say I willed it, you know, nice. I took my energy, my creative force, and just went, And the thing is, I genuinely, from the very beginning, I expected it to get better. Mm-hmm. It didn't really have a choice. And when you start, once that works for a person for a while, you're just going to, I don't know how to put it into words, but it will work for you. And when it does, it's going to change your perspective. Mm-hmm. Your relationship with reality will change because you realize, like, no, I don't need surgery because it's getting better. It feels way better than it did yesterday.
But you know, it's interesting in that same vein, and this is the key to what you were saying, which you hit the nail on the head, and that is that, again, affirmations in my new way of thinking and about the way in which I teach people how to do them in the book is about the energy, tapping into the energy source, not just saying it, but feeling it, believing it, and sending that energy out. And when we have seen in research after research that if you focus energy, they even have pads now that you put energy pads that you put around a broken bone or a fractured bone or something like that, and also joints, and you send energy, you put in energy into the, you know, so we're talking electric current, you're shocking this into that area, it stimulates growth. It speeds up growth. It stimulates the chemicals that help to speed up growth and to ensure that you're on the way to again, a healthier person. And that's this, if you are doing your affirmations and you're focusing your energy, you're telling your body's energy, let's focus and remind ourselves on a daily basis by doing an affirmation that my knee is better and I am loving the ability to walk again. And you do that, you know, again, at least three times a day and three times in the morning, whatever, however you do your routine. And again, read the book. The ritual is there. It explains how to set your space, how to whatever. But more importantly, sending that energy there, focusing your energy field to that space adds that energy, that additional current, that additional energy that stimulates the body to speed up that healing process, which again is some people are doing external pads, which is wonderful. But again, I'm reminding folks, external is great. But if you start within and send that message, then you are helping. And then if that comes on, that's even better. But if you can't afford it, which some people may not be able to, you're doing it internally and you're saving yourself a lot of money to do exactly what it is that an external source might do for you. Again, energy, energy, energy. I come back to that because that is key to the new affirmations. The old affirmations are thought. I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I am. Yeah. I'm saying, no, I'm not thinking. I'm telling. I'm putting the energy out to the universe. I'm pushing it out to the universe, telling you, again, exactly what this image is. I'm pushing that energy out there. And the energy will then respond in kind. The universe will send it back to me. And as long as I mean it when I say it, I say it when I mean it. I believe and I truly understand it to happen in my life that the universe does bring it back to me. It does listen. And it says, wow, you got your stuff together. I'm going to send it back to you because you're easier to deal with than the people with all the muddled stuff here that aren't even paying attention. They're messy. I've got to take care of them later, but I'll take care of you. You're easy because I know what you want because you know what you want.
Yeah.
You know, it's a strange logic, but that's my logic.
it absolutely is. Yeah. And at a Missy's Treasure Room, I did that. You were there at the doing tarot for people, and they had the PEMF, the pads, and they have like the real heavy duty professional systems. And and I sat there, and they put the paddles on there, they turn it up and turn it up as much as you can take it. And I'm like, yeah, do it. Oh, it sounds awesome. It feels awesome. And of course, you know, here's the big thing about affirmations. Like, I expected it to work.
Yes. Yep.
You know, I expected it to work. And even before I stood up, you know, people are like, how does it feel? I'm like, great.
The placebo effect. Going back to the placebo effect, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it is or not, I feel it, therefore it is.
Yeah. It's like, I'm healed. Yeah. Yeah. So, let's see. The practice, and this is the thing, now the way you're speaking of affirmations, it's now there does tend to be the old, the old method or a method that people have used quite a lot. And I understand why they maybe stopped doing it or didn't work because, if you're just reciting the words, that really doesn't have much effect. It's the feeling, it's the experience. And you write about that. You have to be in the end. You have to be there. It has to be. You appreciate it. You feel it. You know, you like, if you don't, you have to literally experience the reality that you want. And yeah. our imagination is that's the creative power. And so you're there, and then like you open your eyes and you're surprised. Oh yeah, that's right. You know, I'm back here, but I'm not really,
yeah.
you know, I've been where I'm like, it's not over there or in the future. It's now.
Yes.
I've now programmed that into my DNA and into the very like holographic reality that I am, you could say, yes. you know?
Yes.
And so like what does the affirmation process look like? The way you've kind of defined it. And of course people should get the book, but I love that you speak of ritual. And I think that's yeah. a great one, because I think that right now, you know, I'm just going to call it, we have global craziness. We probably always have. That's the earth plane. Mm-hmm. It just does that. But yeah. maybe like we always have. But right now, because we have a lot of global craziness, a lot of craziness, people need to be able to get into that I am consciousness, have yeah. a sense of being in control of their existence and mm-hmm. manifesting it. And I find that sometimes it can be so hard. Sometimes the hardest thing I do all day is meditate for 15 minutes in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. but I think that you kind of have a process that's like ritualistic.
Yes.
That maybe when you can't, maybe you couldn't just sit there at first and just stop and get present, but you can do a ritual, which I think somehow it's like it gets the mind, the body, and the energy focused, and it gets you to that place.
Yes.
That nexus, that center where creation happens. So can you go over like, what does that process look like for somebody?
I'm going to divide it into two different sections. The first is going to be easy. Okay. If you are somebody who cannot do meditations, and I am somebody who cannot, I'm very difficult with meditations, because if I start to do meditation, I fall asleep, because I can't go there. When I'm either all on or all off, and my mind's always yeah. running, or it is dead. It is just boom, gone. So what I did is I learned a ritual that I taught myself, and I get a tall, thin, tapered candle. I light it, dark room, or, you know, with no distractions, leave the technology out of the room and everything else, and just set a timer that you cannot see, but it's in the room. So it'll ding when it's ready. And for 5 minutes, for 7 days straight, for 5 minutes, the same time every day, you focus on the candle's flame, nothing else but the candle's flame. The first day, it is extremely difficult. The second day, it's a little less difficult, because your mind is still wanting to race and look at everything else. And I say, when it's racing and you're thinking about something else, focus on the flame, focus on the size, the color, whatever it is that makes you focus still on the flame, do it. Let your mind wander there. And over time, you'll realize that you're now, by the fourth and fifth day, you're controlling your brain, and you're telling your brain to shut down and only focus. And by the seventh day, usually you tend to have some more control of your brain, and you can shut it down and control having the silence, because silence is deafening to some people. Some people are very afraid of silence because they're afraid of what they see there. Now that's the first part of it. Okay. So that helps people to learn how to meditate in a way that they, and not meditation, but kind of again, controlling their brain and helping to give themselves the power over the brain to quiet it and to listen to spirit and listen to whatever. The second thing, which is the other, which is in the book specifically, is the process. The first thing yes. you want to do when you're looking at affirmations or thinking about doing affirmations is you need to prepare your space in order to write them. Because again, you have to have a space that amplifies the opportunities that are there. And so you want to kind of declutter everything, because clutter is like a cluttered mind. It kind of gets messy in your mind, and you can be distracted on all the clutter around you. Where if it's clean, then therefore you're focusing again on your mind and not so much what's in front of you. You can put in some natural things, like natural elements help us and very much. And so we can put in crystals, we can put on some plants, have them in our space, have dim light, not very vibrant light. Vibrant light shocks our mind. And again, it brings us to a high level. We want to bring down the tone, bring it on down a little bit. So we create a more peaceful environment. If we want to put on some music, that's fine too, if that's what you want. That will put me to sleep, so I can't do it. But other people, it does help them to kind of get that, set that standard. You want to have some paper and pen available. And then you want to talk to yourself and say, okay, what is it I want? What is it I need? What is it I'm trying to accomplish? What is it that would give me that fulfillment? And start scribbling, write it down, whatever it is you want. And then once you've written down and scribbled, you want to make sure that you then take that and write it into an affirmation that is specific to you. Again, very specific. The more specific, the better. Personal to you. In the present tense of the moment of success. And that is something that when it's said, it resonates. That's the biggest key, is that often we sit down, and when I first wrote the affirmation I just told you that I use often, that one I had in other languages and it didn't resonate. And I would say it, I'm like, okay, it's finding itself kind of hollow. What doesn't work? And I had to actually change words and then restructure the sentence until I found the phrase that once I repeated it, I'm like, ooh, that's good. Oh, I like that. Oh yeah, I feel it. You know, I feel it in me. It's like, okay, this is good. If you don't feel it, then it's not right. Okay. Because again, it's a feeling thing. It's a knowing. And then once you do that, the next thing you do is then you start setting yourself a routine. I say the morning is the easiest because in the morning we are the closest to our other side, to the subconscious side, because we're just waking. And as we just waken, we're still at that energy level that's very close to the other side. So what I would suggest is that's when you do it. Take yourself that time, just 2 minutes, even, not even five. I said five earlier, even 2 minutes. And you're going to repeat it at least three times. You're going to repeat the affirmation you've written at least three times, saying it when you mean it when you say it, make sure that you're sending it out. And then as you do, prepare yourself for the day. But good, the best part is you prepared yourself in a positive way for the day because you sent out a positive affirmation already, right? Which is important. And then you then sit back and now do the rest of your routine and then move on with your day. You've asked the universe now. You've done what you needed to do, and do that every day. And it's interesting. There are times in the day where I hit a frustration point. And if I'm looking for something specific, at a time where I need something more than the affirmation I just mentioned earlier, then I throw the same affirmation out at that point to help bring me down. I'm like, okay, let's lower the cortisone level because I'm getting really tense. Yes. And this is not healthy. And so I use it as a mantra, reminding myself that the focus, the most important focus I have is this, what I'm calling in, and not being distracted by this little problem that seemed frustrating, because that's not where my energy needs to be. My energy needs to be focused on what it is the big picture. And so I use it as a way to remind myself and to bring myself back around to it, because again, it doesn't hurt. And if you want to repeat it again, three times every time you do is what I suggest. But if you want to do it more than once a day, do it absolutely, but at least once a day. And then the other two things that are very important as you do that is remember to include thankfulness and gratefulness into that affirmation. And if you notice, when I said, I believe in infinite abundance, my wants and needs are always met was my initial one. And I remembered as I was doing it, I'm feeling like, okay, what am I missing? And I thought, I'm not being thankful. I'm not being grateful to the universe for giving me exactly what I've been asking for. And they keep doing it. And yet I've never thanked them. And that's why I changed it to be, I believe in infinite abundance. I am thankful that my wants and needs are always met. So remember the thankfulness, that's so important. And then the mindfulness. The mindfulness is that present positive energy. If you are putting yourself in a present positive energy state, which is the whole concept of mindfulness, then the affirmation is indeed positive already. And therefore you are continuing to push that positive envelope forward. So those are the things that I suggest when you're doing it. They're in the book. They're detailed, much more specific than I've given you here. They're in what's called the cultivating your affirmation. It's in section 4 of the book, and it leads you. It takes you by the hand and leads you step by step on how to prepare your space, how to prepare you, then how to write them, and then how to put them into place and then use them. And so, and I always tell everybody, advice@sonoranmystictarot.com is my email address, advice@sonoranmystictarot, or all the social media platforms, Sonoran Mystic Tarot on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, whatever. If you have an affirmation and you say, hey, I'd like to have you run this by you, I'm that author you can reach out to. I'm the author you can communicate directly with. You don't have to go through my agent. I don't have one. You don't have to go through my publisher. I don't have one. You come to me and say, hey, I've written this. What do you think? The first thing I'm gonna say is, what do you think? And does it do the job for you? But then I'm gonna say, okay, then if that's the case, then if it's not working, we can do this or this or this. I will help you. I will help anybody out there to find that right voice, that right message in your affirmation. And more importantly, I'm always open to having these kind of conversations. That's why you'll see me Wednesday evenings between 6 and 9 live, here on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube, and Thursday mornings as well. And people come on there and ask questions all the time with me, and I'm always available. But advice@sonoranmystictarot is also a way to reach out to me and ask me private questions if you wish. And I do respond. And I lovingly, I lovingly take that on because, again, it means you're listening and you're now looking at yourself, because, again, that's the most important thing. If you are whole here, you can serve in a much better place.
So. Yeah. And the more you're, and the more you're, and the more you're there, the more you're going to want to be there. I think as you put it to the test and it works, it becomes, there are some good addictions, and being in the I am presence and that manifestation and the magic that life becomes, that's a fine addiction. It'll do you fine. Well, I guess as we wrap things up, there was one question that came in is, can you explain what neuroplasticity is?
Wonderful question.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful question. And it is in the chapter, I think it's chapter 13 or 14 in the book. It goes very much into it. Neuroplasticity is the phrase for, scientific phrase, for the ability of the brain to retrain. We always hear you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and I'm telling you that's not the case. You can and you should. And so the neuroplasticity is our ability to retrain our brain to go from what is instinctively entrained in us, the negative, which is where we usually go to. And it's not a derogatory thing to know that. It's just that's what we have. That's how we are built, to be able to then retrain the brain to respond in a more positive light, a more positive way. And so, and also we get out of our old habits. Again, the neuroplasticity says our brain has the ability to be plastic enough to be, and when I say plastic, I mean malleable plastic, not hard plastic. It's malleable enough to be able to retrain in a way that then suits us and serves us better. So neuroplasticity is a proven, again, a research proven thing that exists, and it is our ability to retrain our brain to serve us in whatever situation we need. And more importantly, in this way, going from the negative response to teaching us to instantly go positive. And over time, as you retrain the brain, as you continue to do it by repetition, it becomes rote. And therefore you don't anymore go instinctively to the negative, because you're already going to the positive now. And I am blessed that that's where my mind is, because I've been doing it for so long that I tend to go to the positive first. And some people are like, okay, you're kind of like a little too optimistic. And I'm like, I'm not pie in the sky. I'm just saying that we don't need to go into hell to understand heaven. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like I can start here and not be down there. And it's not that difficult, folks. It doesn't take much. It just takes a little of our understanding to respond when the response happens, to be able to catch it and say, whoa, wait a minute. I know that. I'm not going there. No. And then go this way. And over time, you won't even have to catch yourself, because again, your mind will now, because of the neuroplasticity, it will be drawn to that positive and it will take you there. And so it's a wonderful thing. And again, you can look it up online on Google or anything else. You'll see what it means. And it's again, exactly what I said, but it gives you a better understanding probably than what I've just given you.
Oh yeah. And actually Unbalanced Libra commented, it's chapter 14.
There you go. Yeah. Band out there.
Yeah. It's nice. It's a good number of people watching, because I really was a little behind, and I only made this live stream link pretty much as we went online, as we started. So it didn't have really a chance to get out there, but definitely a lively crew showed up on short notice. So, Donald, it's been amazing. I don't want to keep you too long. There's many things we can talk about, but maybe we'll do a part two, and definitely, I know I'm going to be tuning in and listening to you do some readings. And I think that's one thing maybe we can get into in the future, is a deep dive into intuition. Because, us, the Radiant Creators Headquarters, had a firsthand experience of Donald's intuitive skills, and they are above the normal. they're quite extraordinary. And so people are asking.
I appreciate your time and invitation. I was so happy to come on, and again because of that. But if the invitation comes, I will accept it. But when we come, if we do this again, definitely we should talk about tarot. But also we should maybe include some mediumship, because I think that would be, can go hand in hand. And for me, the mediumship is so, I love it when it happens, and it is so. It's such a gift to be able to bring closure to people, So maybe next time we talk about both of those things in tandem with each other, if that would be okay with you.
That would be wonderful. That'd be absolutely wonderful. Well, people are asking, what's the next book about? So, and okay, well, maybe tarot and mediumship. So, well, thank you so much. It's been great. Where can people get a hold of you? It'll all be in the show notes, but your main spot to find you would be?
I have a website, Sonoran Mystic Tarot. Sonoran is the desert we live in, folks. I live in Arizona, so Sonoran Desert. So Sonoran Mystic, because I feel it's very mystical. And then, of course, Tarot, which is my base heart. So SonoranMysticTarot.com. But under all the social media platforms, you can also look up Sonoran Mystic Tarot, and you'll find me there. You can message me through them as well. And the book is on Amazon, and it is soon to be released on Barnes & Nobles and a few other places. It is Audible, ebook, as well as soft cover and hardcover. And and so those you can get the books there as well. And and then also, again, if you are interested in a reading, you can reach out to me also at advice@sonoranmystictarot.com is my email address. You can reach out to me there or go to my website again, and you can try to book a reading from me there as well. So many ways.
Yeah. And those readings, are they over like video, over Zoom, or just audio? Or
if you're in the local area and you want to come to my home, we do that way. I can facilitate that way. But most people, because I do serve a larger swath of people throughout the country, actually throughout the world, because I have readings, believe it or not, in different countries as well, because we have picked up such a following in that regard. So most of the time it is over Zoom. And it's unlimited pretty much, because I charge one fee. I used to have a structure for different fees, and I charge one fee, and it covers whatever you want to get into and for however long until you feel comfortable you've gotten the information you need. And those readings are recorded, and then I upload a link for them to download so they can have them for posterity. They can sit and listen to them over and over again. Because one thing that happens with readings is that as you sit there, you trip up on a word or a phrase, and now your mind, as somebody listening to a reader read for you, you're now distracted here, and then you just missed about 3 minutes of the additional conversation they had. So the good part about having the reading delivered to you is that you can go back and reread it and pick up on the things that you were not really catching because you were so busy distracted with something else that was catching your attention, which I think is wonderful. So yeah, I send you that as well. And by the way, if you get a reading from me, and you, I also send you a free book, sort of a signed copy of my book. So, hey, not bad.
Not bad at all. Wow. All right. Well, this is great stuff. Okay. Well, you know, I have a feeling that we'll be seeing you probably before long back at Missy's Mysteries.
Missy's is what Mystery, it's called. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. not Missy's Treasure Room. Yeah. And it'll be a party. So you'll probably go ahead.
I could say, if I could put a plug in for Missy. Yes. Missy is very in tune with the metaphysical here. She's a wonderful woman. That both of them are wonderful people. They own the shop, they run it, and they are very supportive of local folks and local talent. And if the local writers, they put them in their store, local products. And so if you are in Scottsdale, Phoenix, anywhere in the metro area of Phoenix, Scottsdale, anything like that, go over to Missy's Mysteries. It's at Shea Boulevard and Scottsdale Road. It's just north of that. You can look them up. But Missy's Mysteries, you will be supporting one of the most wonderful folks and the most supportive of our own community, because unfortunately, not everybody focuses on growing the talent local, and Missy does. And so I would suggest check her out, and you know her, you know what I'm talking about. She's wonderful. So it's money well spent. If you're going to spend it in the area and you're here, spend it with Missy's.
Yeah. And I'll definitely link to that in the show notes. And there's a Mystic Bazaar every month. And I'm not sure if you'll be at the next one or not, but it is absolutely a party. It's great, great, great energy. And, you know, their prices are also really good, because just because it's a new age store doesn't mean that it can't do a little price gouging. And Missy's Mysteries is extraordinary. I mean, we love going there because we can afford it. It's wonderful. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. And thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks for all the comments and questions. And we'll do it again. We got a plan. We'll be talking about mediumship and tarot, and we'll, you know, that will eventually come along. So take care, Donald. It's been so great.
And send my blessings to your wife.
I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.